I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Mind you, we are waiting to hear from D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Texans, after day one of mandatory minicamp, where I imagine he will be having a big smile on his face. One, because that's what D'Amico do, and two, because I feel like he's going to be on that "I told y'all it was general soreness." Before we get there, though, I'd like to welcome into the program the man who is frequently here on a Tuesday. He is B. Scott from Hiram Clark. Brandon, what's happening, brother?
Hey, I'm smiling too. I would say that even if it is an "I told you so" situation, it's still a file it away for later. Like, he out there throwing and looks good and all of that, and then everything can work out well in the season. But I'm still not going to forget that the quarterback was sore 6 months after the last time he played, and the last time that I saw him, he was getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
You know, and not his fault getting his ass kicked.
No, not by any means.
But getting his ass kicked nonetheless. So, all of that still matters to me, whether he's throwing or not.
No, you're right. Many of our listeners, many of us in this room have experienced tendonitis before. So that's an injury that people can relate to.
Assuming it's tendonitis.
Yeah, assuming it's tendonitis, which has been reported.
Hypothetically speaking.
It's been speculated. I don't know that we can say that it's reported.
Oh, it was Chris Sims. That's right. Yeah. Chris Sims. But yeah, had all the markings of tendon. If it is that, that's something that we can all relate to, or a lot of us can relate to. And you know that it tends to maybe pop back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like this is the first time that he's ever dealt with this. Back when he was in college, he had the AC joint sprain, I believe it was.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It was an AC joint injury nonetheless. And again, even when we first got this story, I know we're going to go around the NFL, but even when we first got this story,
don't worry, I got the segue.
A couple of weeks ago, it was still about, to me, the importance of protecting this guy and making sure that he's not on his ass again the way that he was the last time we saw him play.
Yeah.
So it was in the beginning, until we started getting the non-answers, when we were getting no answers at all.
Yeah.
It was really about the long-term ramifications of not protecting your quarterback, which obviously you want to do. Any team wants to do.
100%. Absolutely. But one thing I have learned today, as OTAs really starting in earnest all the way across the league, is, did you know the general soreness is contagious? Seems like the AFC South got a rash of them going on.
You're referring to the Trevor Lawrence news.
Correct.
Of course.
Yeah. That's right.
Trevor Lawrence, who did, by the way, throw during voluntary practices, is now dealing with some general soreness. But I do wonder, what y'all think? They just got at the league meetings, whenever that was, several weeks ago, and they were like, you know what, this is going to be the intentionally vague term that we're going to use, no matter how bad or not bad a situation is for a quarterback or for a player, period.
Yeah.
If they hurt, injured, or otherwise, it's just general soreness.
Or they heard the D'Amico news and said, hey, we could use that.
Yeah.
We could say that too.
But general soreness is just such a generic and non-creative way of explaining things of a term. It feels like any old body could have thought of that.
But that's the beauty of it, right? It's generic, and so it don't say too much.
Right.
Which is exactly the intent, right?
I get it.
To make it abundantly clear what we were talking about, Trevor Lawrence, obviously the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he is wearing a sleeve today, day one of OTAs, and Liam Cohen, who is now the head coach, and obviously he'll still be the offensive play caller out there for the Jaguars, said that he is dealing with general soreness. I mean, it's a lot of the same type of feeling that generally they are cool with it. They don't feel like this is going to be something major. I'll give you the direct quote. He just had a little bit of general soreness. We threw a lot of balls last week. He feels good. He said it wasn't really an issue. Close quote.
There I mean, if somebody doesn't have something broken to use proper English, but y'all understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. If it ain't broke, mm-hmm. there's no reason to be out here setting off the alarm bells in June, right? Yeah. So like, it doesn't mean that it is or isn't a big deal. It just means that now is not the time, mm-hmm. especially if it's not like an obvious catastrophic injury that's going to keep them out for the season or keep them out for 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. Like right. if they have time to figure it out, have time to let whatever it is heal or rest or whatever is the proper word, then they're going to do that and understandably not set the alarm bells.
Absolutely. All right, so Lopez, I bring this up obviously just to talk about what's happening around the division. However, I also, because when we talk about quarterbacks in the division, we have the two general soreness brothers in Houston and Jacksonville. But then also don't forget, you have your AC Anthony joint Richardson. With Anthony Richardson, which actually I'm starting to come around. That might be the better circumstance because I think it'll put Daniel Jones in the driver's seat and he might be better to actually build an offense around mm-hmm. for them. That's neither here nor there. Your stance on the Jaguars, where at first you were like, they're nothing to worry about. And then you started looking around and you're like, hey, maybe they might have something. Where does this additional news of general soreness visiting Trevor Lawrence put you with them?
It doesn't change my uneasiness. You know this, B. Scott. From the very start, I'm like, don't worry about him. They ain't good. They're Jacksonville. I don't have any confidence in Liam Cohen. Don't no confidence in Gladstone. And just a tiny bit, you know, with the news going out there and Travis Hunter, I'm like, I hope I'm not wrong on that. I hope I'm not wrong on that.
Didn't y'all do the segment a couple of weeks ago? Of course, this is part of my job to mm-hmm. monitor the segments that y'all do. Didn't y'all do the segment of Are We Sleeping on the AFC South?
Yeah,
or was that
along those lines.
One of the other
shows? Well, we talked about the AFC South in those terms.
I feel like they're the ones, and I'm just going to speak for myself here. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that when we say Are We Sleeping on the AFC South, mm-hmm. that's who I'm talking about. The Jags, because I've never been able to take them seriously, even when they've been good, I have struggled to take them seriously. But they do have some
just
talent
like
on that
a little
team.
Bit, right? In the back of your mind, you're like,
Like, I like to poke fun at Trevor yeah. Lawrence, not necessarily living up to the can't-miss prospect yeah. hype, not living up to, hey, this is the number one overall pick back when he was a true freshman mm-hmm. type of hype. But he's not garbage, right? Like we talk about him because we make fun of it, and it's a division rival and all of that. And he hasn't lived up to the expectations. Mm-hmm. But he is still just good enough to beat you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And could beat you once, could beat you twice. He hasn't done that yet, but or at least as of late. So we will see. But that is something that I'm also mm-hmm. filing away
so
for
you're
later.
You're kind of in there too.
Yeah, I feel like I've got an unhealthy bias against Jacksonville that mm-hmm. could be one of my blind sides going into the season.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that works out. Again, mandatory minicamp, we're starting to get a little bit of insight. Actually, speaking of mandatory minicamp, it's time to do head count. Like, who all made it in? Who didn't? Like, who is upset with what's happening here with various things? And, of course, I'd like to start in Cincinnati, Ohio, as it feels like the city of Houston has just been either laughing at things happening in Ohio just generally or actively upsetting people in Ohio by signing Nick Chubb. And Cincinnati, there are two guys that would look like they might not make it, and neither of them showed up. Obviously, Trey Hendrickson and Shamar Stewart. Trey Hendrickson, who is, you know, been long their best, you know, pass rusher, 17 and a half sacks last mm-hmm. year. And he won't his money along like the other guys that are, you know, top of the class when it comes to pass rushers and production, who all got their money this offseason. Talking Max Crosby, talking Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett got extra money.
Yeah.
He was already paid and got paid again.
And he's out here like, where's mine? And they haven't come up with it. He said that he has vowed to not play until he gets that money. He's not showed up to mandatory minicamp. The interesting thing is Shamar Stewart, the first-round pick, correct?
Yeah.
First-round pick for the Bengals. Also, missed OTAs, which is voluntary. Now he's missing the mandatory stuff.
Yeah.
And so the both of those guys with Cincinnati not showing up to mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, so this is a all-encompassing Bengals thing that you're talking about, mm-hmm. but I view the situation so separately and differently.
Okay.
And this is why. I understand Trey Hendrickson's beef.
Yeah.
Because there are stats. I don't know if it's exact sacks or if there's another pass rushing stat out there, but there are pass rushing stats that'll tell you he's been the best guy out there over the last several years, not named Miles. Like Miles Garrett is the standard. But after that, it's basically this guy. So like I understand, especially once you see Miles Garrett get paid the mm-hmm. second time, force his hand a little bit, force the Browns' hand, so to speak. But then Shamar Stewart, I this one I do not understand.
You know how I feel about that.
I mean, good luck to you, buddy, but I don't understand exactly what's going on.
I mean, it pains me because he's an Aggie, but before the draft, I told Figgy and Reggie, I'd stay away from that cat.
Okay.
I'd stay away from that cat. And you're right. It's two totally different things. Trey Hendrickson deserves to be paid. He needs to play hardball with an organization that doesn't normally pay. So he is in a position where he should be doing what he's doing. Shamar Stewart, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't even feel like.
What are you doing?
I'm sure he has an angle.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he doesn't really have an angle on this, you know. Yeah. And maybe the angle is just that I don't trust the Bengals. Like, mm-hmm. and that would be justified and irrational at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is not the greatest look to mm-hmm. of how to debut in the NFL.
Yeah, no,
holding out before you know what a drop. I mean,
no,
you know what I mean?
No, for sure. And that's going to be interesting to see because you're right. Like you probably need to show up. However, if it was most any other organization, I'd have that stance. I just don't give the Cincinnati Bengals the benefit of the doubt. Like, no, I don't necessarily know that you can give them the benefit of the doubt.
They haven't earned it.
On that mm-hmm. side of it. Yeah, they absolutely haven't. All right, I was going to get more of the head count. However, let's take a break real quick and come back and hear from the head coach of the Texans, D'Amico Ryans, after day one of mandatory minicamp. You're listening in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. We take you now to NRG Park, where D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Texans, is talking after day one of mandatory minicamp.
Him battle back, work in the right way to put himself in position to have another opportunity here in Houston. You know, couldn't be more excited to add him to our team and see what value he can provide to us. And just on the same note, I would just like to, you know, just thank Nick Caserio for just his just tirelessly hard work to and dedication to our team, to making sure no matter the circumstances, making sure he's doing everything possible to enhance our roster, put us in a good position to compete each and every year, despite the circumstances that comes up. Like, he's always looking to make us better, and he's done an outstanding job every year that I've been with him, and couldn't be more pleased to work with Nick with the job that he's done.
Nick Chubb is pretty renowned as a blocker. Is that something that's important for you in your running backs?
The most important thing right now is for Nick to just get acclimated to how we do things We all know the caliber of player that Nick can be when he's healthy and when he's at the top of his game. He's a dynamic player. He's a game changer. So we're just easing him in. We'll see how far he gets. Come back training camp, ready to go.
Oh, CJ threw today, right? All right. Yeah. CJ's a competitor. And, you know, last week, CJ, he was adamant about going out and practicing. It just shows the type of person that CJ is. But for me, as a head coach, it's important for me to just make sure we're protecting him, making sure we're doing what's best for CJ, and not really a word about the outside opinions or other people. Nobody knows the information about our players more than me. And so I'm going to make sure I always do what's in the best interest of our players, first and foremost, with their health and wellness. That's always on the forefront of my mind. And so that's why the decision was made about CJ. I think you guys saw him out throwing today. I think he looked pretty fine to me.
Is there any concern about the last 2 years he's had with the knee injury and with the broken foot he sustained 6 months ago?
With Nick and the injury history, we understand his history, but you know, we don't dwell on that. We're giving him an opportunity, and we'll see, you know, how it turns out for us here in Houston. One thing I can say from a guy who's come back from injury is just about the work you put in. You're really not the same, a few months out after injury. It takes time to get back when you can work out and not be worried about rehabbing and working out. Sometimes when you're rehabbing, you're just getting yourself to the starting line, and you're not really ready to win the race. So I think when you take the time to recover and you can truly work out and put the work in and dedicate to your craft on playing the position really well, that's what helps you to have a good year that following year. And I think Nick has put himself in position to do that.
You got a big splash to get today. You had a great one-hand catch against Kamari. What does it kind of show you about a rookie when he's willing to step forward this early into the process and step up and make plays?
It's been really exciting to see just Jaden's growth process in a short amount of time that he's been here. I've seen a guy who's steadily got better every single week. You've seen him make even more plays, and seeing him today, I mean, this is the most plays that he's made. And in our last week of camp, to see a rookie who's come in and showing right now that he could be an impact player for us, I think it means a lot. And we saw it as coaches watching his film from the college game, but I think it just means a lot to the entire team, the players, defensive players, other offensive players, actually seeing him thrive in practice. Because I truly believe if you take practice the right way, deliberately, and you work at it, it'll show up in the games. And so it's really awesome to see the work that he's doing and the plays that he's making.
These guys for a couple more days, then they break. What do you want to see out of these specific workouts in this mini camp, and what's your message going to be when they do leave here and come back for the camp?
Yeah, as we leave here, this last week is really, it's just coming to an end of the things we've been harping on since really our phase one, right? And it's been a steady build up to how can we find ways to just get incrementally better at the small, minute details of your job. So it may not show up all the time as a highlight. It may not show up, you know, as a wild play that I'm showing in a team meeting. It may be as simple as, you know, Nick Neiman, his footwork, just getting straight back on a punt team, or EJ Speed working his eye, working with better eye discipline, or Kay Stover. He's a guy who I think has grown his time, and just on one small detail for him is just, you know, his separation at the top of the routes. So seeing Cade, a second-year player, take the steps to get better at the one thing, just his route definition at the top of his route, and seeing him make play after play, that's what excites me about the offseason. That's why I think it's really important, these 8-9 weeks that we have with the players. If you attack it with the right mindset, you can actually get better, enhance your game, and you don't see as big of a jump in a lot of guys, or really is that first and second year. That's where you see a jump, and that's where I think Kay Stover is taking a jump, and also Kalen Bullock. Kalen has done an outstanding job, you know, this offseason of, you know, we know Kalen for tracking the football, making interceptions, but the thing that I'm very pleased with the way Coach Adegoke has worked with him just on his tracking, putting himself in really good body position to make tackles. We're not tackling or being physical, but he's doing those small things that's going to set him up to make those tackles when we put the pads on. So those small highlights are really huge for me, and we have multiple guys who are getting really getting a lot better in their craft.
Without the offensive side by them having their leader backing up?
Today, I think CJ's first play, he made a big throw on a corner route. And you saw the energy, you saw the competitiveness of CJ talking a little smack to the defense. Like, I love the back and forth that happens. And CJ definitely added some energy to our practice, added some energy to the offense. Guys are doing well, but I think you see when you have game changers, and that's what CJ is, and he instantly changed the – I think just the vibe of the entire practice changed having CJ out there and seeing him make the plays that he was able to make.
Got time for a few more.
Ursary, he's done a great job. The biggest thing with Ursary is for him is getting acclimated to learning, like, what does it take to be a pro, right? And it's those small things of how are you handling yourself in the meetings, like taking the meetings to the field, the weight room, right, nutrition, all those small things that really compound upon rookies, and it's a lot to handle for them finding their routines. And I see Ursary, he's steadily gotten better at the things off the field of finding his routine, and also on the field, just seeing his footwork, his pad leverage is getting better. It's improving. So I can't wait to see him actually put pads on and have to block Hunter Anderson. That's going to be a really good challenge for me. He gets to go up against, you know, two of the best pass rushers in the NFL, so he's only going to get better by going against those guys.
Collectively, having all of the secondary here now, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, all of the guys, what did it look like to you on the field, just the potential of that group?
Yeah, it's good, having all our guys here. C.J., he hasn't been with us. I mean, he has a ways to go and picking up what the other guys have done over this time. So it's good having the guys back. And CJ is just, he's one piece, right? He's a foundational piece to what we're doing, but it's going to take a collective effort of building that puzzle, putting the work together, everybody collectively coming together to make that puzzle a beautiful finished product. So he's one piece of it. We all work together the right way, we can have a really good secondary.
It seems like Trent Brown, he's not on the field, but he's very active, engaged. Is that part of the appeal of bringing him in, even though maybe he had the injury last year?
Yeah, adding Trent, the one thing for Trent is just about him getting healthy. So Trent is doing his work on the side, but you just see the type of guys that we like to bring in. Like, it's important to Trent as a vet to help out the young guys. So whatever he sees from a technique perspective, nobody's asking Trent to stand behind and talk to the young guys. It's just what he does on his own. He finished his work. It's important to him to pour into the young guys. That's what the league is all about, man. We stand on the shoulders of the guys who came before us and paved the way. Trent is just paying it forward, helping out the young guys. It shows the type of guy that Trent is.
Is there extra value because he is familiar with the new OC and Popovich? Is there extra value?
It always helps when you have familiarity with the play caller or a position coach when you're stepping into a new scheme. You know, no different than adding Aziz, a guy who I was his position coach. So adding him, we know each other. He knows what I like. He knows what I'm about. He knows what I expect. And so he can easily deliver the message that I would say he can easily deliver to the locker room. No different on the offensive side, right? Adding Trent, who's been in this system, worked with Coach Cole, worked with Kaylee before, it really helps, I think, deliver that message to the guys in the locker room. So that message is just, it's echoing, right? And that's what you want. You want the message coming from the players, not so much from the coach all the time.
Let me take these last two.
You know, the hard thing about offseason program is the offensive D line, offensive line, defensive line. There's a lot of give and take that goes with that territory there. You want to be as safe as possible in how we're working. So it's nothing to really stand out about the O-line, D-line, because we got to put pads on, right? For the big guys up front, they play a physical game. We won't know truly what we have until we put pads on, until we see these guys in training camp, see them in game action, actually get their job done.
What kind of impact has Jerod had on CJ over these last couple of years?
Yeah, Jerod has done a great job. Jerod has grown as a coach, first-time position coach a couple years ago. I think him getting a rookie quarterback, they're both growing together, and Jerod is headed in the right direction as a coach.
Last one,
DJ.
And with our roster where we are now, I feel really strong about our roster. I think for me, I always take into account every year, like every player that's on our team, right? So some people have the adage of, oh, you guys are going all in because you make a certain move here or there. Well, to me, what year aren't you going all in? Because if you're not trying to go all in, whatever that move is, then it's just a disrespect to the organization, a disrespect to all the players who are putting their bodies through a ton of pain, a ton of suffering to go out and play this game. So for me, just respecting the game and what it means to me, every year we're trying to accomplish the goal of winning it all, doing our absolute best to put our team in position to do that. And it starts with Nick Caserio and the job that he does just with scouting talent, being able to acquire guys, getting deals done. There's nobody that cares more about the people in this building than Nick Caserio. So it's just, for me, it's easy when you're working with a guy like Nick. He makes it easy on me. We see the game the right way. We're both very competitive in what we're doing. So it's, man, it's a great match. And the roster isn't the way it is without Nick's help. So credit to him for that. Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There you go. That's the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, talking to the assembled media. And it's typically when we do B. Scott's thoughts. B. Scott, thoughts on what the head coach had to say?
No, I would just circle back to the C.J. Stroud news. I feel like him not throwing was bad news, and him throwing is good news. And so we can celebrate. I did mention that I'm going to file it away for later because, I just cannot get it in me to apologize for being concerned about the health of the quarterback. Forgive me. Forgive me for thinking that the quarterback not being healthy 6 months after he played, last played, was not a big deal. But to see him out there, to see him making plays, making throws, Jaden Higgins I thought was a big one. And obviously the, you know, him making plays with C.J. Stroud, watching them make plays together. And, of course, the Nick Chubb addition. I think that it was very clear that D'Amico Ryans ain't putting all his eggs in no Nick Chubb basket.
Yes.
But they got, like, they talk about this guy different, as they should, right? Like, I think his resume speaks for itself, 4-time Pro Bowler, 1-time All-Pro. So, like, you bring in a guy like that, he kind of commands this certain level of respect and reverence to begin with. And so it'll be interesting to see what that actually looks like when they start playing football for real.
I think the big thing with Nick Chubb, well, a couple things stood out, but the big thing with Nick Chubb, you're right.
Oh, we're not going to get it all right here. We'll have to circle back.
They're not putting all their eggs in one basket, but he made it very, very clear at the end of his comments there. He said, you know, sometimes when you're rehabbing, you're just getting to the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think they feel as if Nick Chubb is finally at the starting line after those injuries. And so as much as they have to say, hey, we're taking it easy, I think they have some expectations.
Yeah, like it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if Nick Chubb wasn't really, really ready until week 8, week 9, and they're able to kind of stay above board up until that point. Like, I think that could be like a – like an underrated bonus addition, not just getting Nick Chubb, because obviously they got him in the offseason, but getting a healthy Nick Chubb or Nick Chubb hitting his stride right as the season is starting to develop.
I mean, that's an interesting thought process, the idea of like Nick Chubb not being the full version of whatever Nick Chubb is in this year till midway through the season or what have you, because then how are you making the decision on your cut down on that running back room, you know, at the end of camp? Like, what are you then basing that on? Is it just we forecast where it'll be, and thus we can make that decision on whether it's Damian Pierce or Darray or whoever that ultimately, you know, is the odd man out in that room? Like, that thought process gets a lot more interesting if you think about the idea of, like, what is the, you know, the continued growth through the season and where is a reasonable place for the growth to kind of settle.
But how great would it be? And Lopez, like, we've been watching this. It's been a long time. Honestly, Joe Mixon was like was godsent last year.
Yes.
It's been a while since they had a running back to that caliber. Obviously, Damian Pierce had the rookie season that he had. But wouldn't it be dope if they had, like, 2-3 running backs that they could rely on, that they can hand the ball off to? Like that, and that's kind of speaking to your point here. What if they kept – you remember 2021 when they kept 5 running backs?
Yeah.
And we weren't sure if any of them were any good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what if you had 3 that you could rely on?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I know exactly who those 3 are. Obviously, you have Joe Mixon.
Agreed.
But between Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce, the rookie Woody Marks that they just drafted, and obviously we know Dario Ogunbowale, they drafted some guys last year, Jawar Jordan, J.J. Taylor was somebody that was in the mix. Somewhere within that hodgepodge of guys, if you can just get enough to – where you can spell Joe Mixon and you don't have to run him into the ground. And then, oh, here comes week 8, or maybe it's even week 7 after we come back from the bye week, and now Nick Chubb has finally hit his stride. I mean, it would be like Christmas coming early for the Texans.
To your point, Reggie, about, you know, how they're going to play this, basically, I still think it doesn't change a whole lot because of Woody Marks. Because, you know, depending on what they see in him, clearly they're not going to, you know, they're not going to move on from a drafted rookie.
No.
And then you have, you know, Nick Chubb sort of on the sideline. I mean, he's going to be on the roster at some level, you would suspect. I don't know how much it changes behind those 3 guys, you know, Mixon, Chubb, and Woody Marks.
No, yeah. just a thought the way that you were laying it out, B-Sky, which I don't think you were wrong in that regard.
I mean, but and I want to point out, I know it was a different regime, different coaching staff and all of that, but we did see them keep 5 running backs on the active roster one time.
Yeah, but where's the give at that point? Because you got a lot of wide receivers it feels like you can keep. And
I get it. I'm just saying, and with the wide receivers, we don't know how good they are after the 4th or 5th guy. So it could be, I mean, they could go literally either way there. And I think I do
5 wide receiver, huh? I hear B. Scott, 5 wide receivers for your Texans.
They'll obviously have 6 wide receivers, but I do think that Nick Chubb does change the calculus a little bit. Like if you got to let go of John Metchie or Xavier Hutchinson or somebody because you believe that Nick Chubb is going to be a contributor or however the math or the numbers work, I think you'll be able to live with that.
Mm-hmm. That would be very interesting to actually get to that point and see that happen, right? Especially if you feel confident in the ability for your wide receivers to, like, be there, because I think obviously health ends up also being an issue when you start talking about, like, having relatively narrow numbers there. But nah, man, that I could very vaguely, as we sketch this out, very far away from when they actually have to make those roster cuts.
It could be tight end where they make cut the corners because we don't believe none of them are any good anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean it could be they could figure out a way to make sure that they got enough running backs to get a ball to.
Very intriguing. All right, so there's more stuff to dive into with D'Amico Ryans, and we will. But coming up next, we got to get into what's popping. Where I want to get some of B. Scott's thoughts here, but we'll talk about just generally what's popping on the day. We'll do that next. All right, this is going to be interesting what's popping, because I don't think that it's going to be normal. We just heard from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. I feel like there's probably still some more insight there. I kind of want to get to B. Scott's thoughts, but I want to start off in a little bit more light way, because this tends to be a little bit lighter of a segment. It is 6-10 day. I did wonder, hey, if you did not remember with all of the hoopla with the Texas going on, it is 6-10 day. And the question of the day earlier was, what's your favorite sports radio 6-10 moment? And B. Scott, you are both a veteran of Sports Radio 6-10, but also you are a fan of Sports Radio 6-10. I wanted to get involved. What is your favorite 6-10 moment?
Yeah, man, I was a listener for a long time before I ever worked here. Probably close to a decade, about a decade of listening before I actually started working here. And for me, so I got a lot of different ones that I could probably choose from, but I'd be lying if I put anything above the Tom Herman moment. And day ones will remember this, but a different iteration of In the Loop. Y'all were in the mornings at that point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, me and Nick, yeah.
So it was Nick Wright and John Lopez doing In the Loop, but in the morning as our morning show at Sports Radio 610. And that was one of those where I think a misunderstanding and some will actually try on some technicalities morphed into something much greater. Like y'all, I feel like y'all were nitpicking in words, but the fight or argument that ensued based on that and Lopez sticking to his guns and standing 10 toes down on what his report was. And then Nick Wright coming in as the ultimate, like, I am my brother's keeper type of energy. And he was not about to let Tom Herman come up on the air and charge up Lopez without him having something to say about it, to the point where by the end of it, it was very clear that Tom Herman was even more annoyed by just the presence and idea of Nick Wright, which talk about file away for later.
Yeah.
That ended up becoming a theme in Nick's, kind of his shtick a little bit nationally later on. But it went from Tom Herman having this objection to a very small and technical and ancillary part of Lopez's original report
to
beef. I just don't like this guy, Nick. I don't like this guy. And I said this to you guys off the air. It's one of the few moments in 6-10 history where I can remember being so, like, I listened, okay, but being so enthralled by whatever was going on that I didn't do whatever it was that I was supposed to be doing at that moment. I was living in Beaumont covering courts as like a legitimate news reporter. And there was a case that didn't get covered that day because I was in my car on the edge of my seat. And I mean, no disrespect to Beaumont, but I mean, it's a lot of court cases out there.
Yeah.
There will be another day to speak on this trial, but I don't know if we're going to have a moment like this again. So that's got
to
be it for me.
Hey, shout out to Nick Wright. Shout out to, in a way, Tom Herman and I guess Lopez for creating the moment.
And the best part was at the end, Nick was like, all right, let's try to talk this out. You want to go to lunch?
Can we have lunch? Yeah. Who is this?
Yeah.
This is Nick. Absolutely not.
Which is hilarious because you would imagine that he would actually have beef with in that moment was Lope. Like, if he had said, actually, this is John, would that have changed the answer?
No, God, no.
So then why would you ask, Tom? Yeah.
But because Nick was admittedly even more annoying than Lopez was. Like, just very, very clearly. And y'all know kind of Nick's pestering sort of personality.
Yeah,
he could have easily been like a standout lawyer. It's probably what he would have done if he didn't go into broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And so he will argue you to the
Yeah, who you're talking to.
Right, exactly. So, like, that part of it was clear. Now, I will say this, because I want to be honest. I didn't feel like that was any of y'all's finest moment, if I'm going to be honest, Lopez.
Yeah.
Like, out of the three of y'all, I didn't feel like any of y'all were, like, basking in glory necessarily, except for the fact that it was must listen. And if that be the goal, it was certainly accomplished.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like it was any of the three's finest moment, but it was certainly the most compelling.
Yeah.
Has anybody mentioned Nick asking Matt Schaub if he deserved to be benched?
Oh, I remember that's a good one. And, and didn't he stop coming on or didn't come on a week or something like that? I forget what it was, but
no,
around the pick six time.
I don't know if he might have missed one now that I think about it. He may have missed one.
Because I remember that being kind of a curious, he ain't showing up now.
Yeah.
It ain't all gravy no more.
That texter seemed to remember it in the same way. 713 said Rich Lord and Les Miles. Is there a story there? Can you guys bring me in?
Yeah. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. He asked Les a question. Les didn't want to answer it. Mm-hmm. And it was a very awkward moment. I forget what the context of what the question was.
Did you and Show get into one?
Somebody said when Show was throwing that B word around.
Yeah. That's probably one of my favorite ones since I've been on the air is so Show starts a segment. It was something about Donovan Mitchell. We were talking about the NBA for whatever reason. And he started the segment with, y'all need to stop acting. And I'm the only one, like, we're at a remote, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's just he and I. And we don't even have a producer on the other side. We don't even have Tyler with us. y'all need to stop acting like a bunch of scary assholes.
What?
And I looked around, and you know, Show has to go through his monologue or whatever. And by the time it got back to me, somehow I had turned scary assholes into bitches. And a friend, I had to just start off my comments. Well, first of all, I don't see no bitches around here. And that's the drop that we play in the afternoon. So that's how that came to be.
That is a fantastic drop. Somebody said you got to talk about Josh Ennis, guys. I imagine there's a lot of these.
There is.
Josh Ennis had some moments.
There's a lot of these that you could bring up. Keep those coming in. Again, I want to enjoy. I want to bask in the 6'10 of it all because I'm the new guy, and I guess inevitably there might be a moment or two of, where my name is involved there. If I do an okay job, we'll see. What guy that I want to do more than okay tonight, Lance McCullers Jr., he's on the bump for the Astros as they start a three-game set versus the Chicago White Sox. White Sox have been a little scrappy of late. They've been a little scrappy, so excited to see what Lance does. Pick to click is not quite, but who are you looking for to have a great game tonight, fellas?
Yeah, it's Lance McCullers for me. Like, I feel like I'm, you know, beating a dead horse or, like, you know, not at the risk of repeating myself, but just the importance of Lance McCullers is just really twofold. His importance, but also what we've seen from him, like, matches the importance. Does that make sense? So, like, he's super important, but he's also pitching in a way that justifies his importance.
Yeah, the way I'd put it is not just his importance, but his importance now.
You're right.
His importance now because of the problems with the pitching staff, the starting pitching staff, some issues that have maybe come up a little bit in the bullpen, about a week ago, you know, when they're giving up 13 and 11 runs. Yeah, not just his importance, but his importance right now.
Yeah, and I didn't get to speak on Brandon Walter from the other day. Mm-hmm. I think that they have found maybe something. I don't want to oversell this, but I feel like they have found something to add to that rotation. Because, look, here's my thing. After, obviously, Hunter Brown, Fromber, and Lance McCullers, it clearly gets, you know, skittish a little bit. Mm-hmm. If he can be a fourth option or just another option for them, I think that can be huge. But, obviously, that hinges on them having the third in Lance McCullers, right? And I think it is cool that, you know, he gets to kind of figure things out. Like, this soft spot and part of their schedule going up against the White Sox, they've had some other teams. Obviously, they just finished up against the Guardians, but they had somebody that was terrible. The Pirates, you know. So, like, they're going up against teams that are not really good, and it's a good opportunity.
It's a great opportunity,
for Lance McCullers to kind of hit his stride, if you will.
Agreed. Very much agreed. I think the interesting part is that you feel like Walter's going to be involved in that. We're going to the six-man rotation here as they have another one of these kind of stretches of a number of games. Number of games, I think, is 13. If he can give you another one of those, you know, give you those quality starts whenever you ask for him, I think that's going to be huge, especially in preserving your bullpen at this time. Yeah. Sorry, the reason why I kind of chuckled was from the 832. They said Reggie realizing that he's part of the 5 foot club with us is one of my favorite moments. Don't do that to me.
Oh, that did happen.
Don't do that to me because I'm not.
Look,
says you are.
I got to say that. You a better man than me, Reggie.
Telling everybody?
Telling everybody, because if somebody...
It's called confessions.
Well, because I also am under the impression that I am 6 feet tall, but I am exactly your height, Reggie.
Oh, wow.
And so let a doctor or a medical professional come to me talking about they 5'11". I'm taking it that I'm 5'11". I'm taking that secret
come to the
grave.
Come on over to my table.
Yeah. I'm taking it to the grave. I'm going to straighten my back out a little bit.
All right,
straighten my back.
Yeah. I do want to get this in.
I got that long neck too, so I feel like I might help.
It helps. You at the very least, also you're slim, so you give the image very shows up. Yeah. Very much shows up. Yeah. 6 foot.
But also,
even
if
it's a lie,
if I don't hit the 6 foot, I don't have no excuses. You know, because I'm straight up and down, I'm just a bean pole, no muscle, no nothing.
We're gonna have to start marking the door like when you're a kid, and measuring it.
Or hey, like man, in stores just, where when you walk out, so they'll know like, how tall you are.
Figgy, if you Reggie, B. Scott, you know.
I'll do the test.
I'm no 5'11 3/4. Get out of here.
Hey, there's one way to figure it out.
Actually, speaking of walls, this does actually come through here. There is a young man named what's my guy's name? Denzel Clark.
Oh my gosh.
Who plays for the A's. And apparently, in addition to Jacob Wilson, this is a man to watch for. Because for the third time in 3 weeks, he did something incredible. This week it sounded a little something like this.
This one to center field. Denzel Clark on the move back after he stepped towards home plate and makes another catch.
Oh, my God.
Back-to-back weeks where he wins the electric play of the week, and he's already on the leaderboard for this week.
You go ahead and book it. I've heard the list. I've seen the list of the greatest catches you're ever going to see in your life. If you don't have room for this one on your list, we're watching two different sports.
Hey, a lot of jokes that you can make about the A's, them being displaced, like who plays baseball in Sacramento, even where they were at the Oakland Coliseum. The thing that you do have to give them credit for is the young talent. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not good right now, but they got some guys over there that, you know, you look up next couple of years and the A's could replace what the Mariners and the Rangers have been in the division as of late.
A couple things on that. First of all, I love when in real time, a color commentator nails it.
Yeah.
Like, he absolutely nailed describing that catch.
He went further, and we had the additional audio. Yeah, we'll play more of it later
because I was like, that dude deserves a raise because that was perfect in real time. Secondly, you're truly, and you hate to get caught up in the moment like you just said about something else, but you're not going to find a better catch than that.
Yeah.
That's going to be very difficult to find a better catch than what he did. And to do three of them, as you mentioned, Reggie,
yeah,
I think there's something there.
It feels like a star is emerging.
Yeah.
I can't tell if that was Chris Carey or Dallas Braden, but on with Jenny Kavnar. I thought she had a fantastic call. I know some people were giving her hell, but I thought she played the energy of it properly. But yeah, man, he's robbed somebody in the 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Last week,
he just smashes into the wall.
Yeah. And some of that's because they have a unreasonably large warning track, which is weird. And that's probably why you shouldn't play at a AAA ballpark. And, of course, here comes Aaron with the tape measure. We'll measure in the break. I will measure. I don't care.
Man, I'm taking my secret to the grave.
I know exactly how tall I am.
Come on over to my table.
You just admitted it.
But anyway,
come on over to my table. You said my secret.
Denzel Clark, he had to have reached, like, 3 feet out of, like, over the wall. Like, I'd throw that up there with Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
No, like, I would actually throw that particular catch up with Bo Jackson.
You're going to have a hard time convincing me. And, again, caught up in the moment. But what he did and you just described, You can't find a better catch than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's got to go. What was the Cardinals outfielder is I'm blanking on that used to make really great catches.
But like, he contrived them.
But what I'm saying is you can put it up there with any of your favorite web gems, and it will take a backseat to none.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good this guy's been.
Yeah. So now I have a reason to be excited for when the Astros catch the A's. But tonight,
Jim Edmonds,
that was the one. I don't know why it was.
He faked a lot of dives though.
Wow.
No, he did. His teammates would talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, he'd slow down so he could dive.
But I respect it. He's a showman. Yeah, as long as you still make the play. Yeah. I mean, he made it a little harder on himself. But, hey, entertain me. That's what I'm here for.
Speaking of being a showman, like, this is the stuff that makes me a fan of a player. Like, obviously, being great at the plate is all – but, man, it feels like baseball used to have more of these. And so, like, having the dude that's like, I'm just going to do the incredible catch – in this moment, not like he planned it that way, but the idea that he's doing it, that's the stuff that gets me really, really excited. Appreciation to the text line for jumping in and giving you Jim Edmonds, a couple people, but also to very many of the other people that are mentioning the various other instances that they enjoyed moments on 610. We really appreciate you guys rocking with us and making us Houston's sports leader. And B. Scott, much appreciation to you. I know you got business to handle.
Yes.
So feel free if you want to text in more of your thoughts. We will read them on the air because we appreciate having you this much. And looking forward to when you do your Texas report on Thursday.
Yeah, man. I'm going to get some Texans thoughts or do some B. Scott thoughts into the text line. Then also I'll jump into this YouTube chat.
Very good. That's another reason to tap into the YouTube and catch the B Block podcast as well if you just need to hear more of your Brandon Scott. But appreciate him jumping on. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit more about the D'Amico Ryans, him talking after the practice, because I thought he had some nuggets. But also, we should probably hear from C.J. Stroud, who has also talked after mandatory minicamp, after throwing for the first time in a good long time. We'll talk about all that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.